Please join me in the reading of God's Word as we find it in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 1. I'm going to read at verse 16 and reading through verse 27. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, by the even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Shall we pray that God will teach us from these words to his glory and to our benefit? Our Father, we come first of all giving thanks that we have thy holy word, that we have this message from heaven, these inspired words given to Paul, as well as all of Scripture. Father, we give thanks that we can have this message and we can have this blessing in our land and freedom. We also pray for those nations where this message and the gospel is forbidden to be read, to be believed, to be propagated. We pray that thou wilt change the hearts of those who persecute, those who are believers, and those who do bring the message. We pray, Father, that thou wilt cause that message to be heard and known in every nation, every tongue, and every tribe. We read in the Holy Scriptures that this message, the gospel, must be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. We pray, Lord Jesus, that this may be the time that the gospel will be known in truth and in power in every nation. We pray that many laborers might be raised up to go to the fields which are still white under the harvest and where the labors are few. We pray that especially, Father, where there is war and turmoil and trouble and strife. We know, Father, that also in lands where there is freedom, there is a great need in our own land. Though we have freedom, in the main we have peace, yet we know there is war in the homes, war amongst ourselves in too many places. And we pray, Father, that we might see the need of bowing the knee to thee and to thy word, that we might hear this message and be saved from our sins through Christ. We pray, Father, for those who are suffering, those who are in need, in sickness, in hunger, homeless, those in older age. We pray that thou wilt look down in mercy and grant them every blessing needed through Christ. Amen. As we continue looking at this epistle of Paul to the church at Rome, though written 1900 and some years ago, it is a message that is needed for us as much today. We could believe that God could look down from heaven on our country, the United States of America, and other nations as well, and see the need to speak these very words to us that are here written. There is no difference, as we read in the third chapter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was that way in those former generations. It is that way today. Thankfully, there have been in certain places and at certain times great revivals. There have been times when God's word was trembled at, when it was believed, when it had a mighty effect, not only in hearts and in families, but in nations as well, as it has in our nation in the past and other nations, that there could be then great blessings, not only individually, but nationally. And how much we need that today. We think of that nation of Israel to whom God first gave the word and the great blessings they experienced when they feared the Lord and when they followed His ways. Today there is turmoil in Israel and its neighbors. And once again, this message is the message of peace, the true message of peace. It has been misinterpreted. It has been disobeyed, it has been dishonored, it has been wrested. But if when we believe this message as God calls us to believe it, it will bring us peace with God and peace with one another. Here we read, once again, the message of the gospel as Paul understood it. We have considered that earlier, but I wanted to read it again because that is the message that every ear must hear. When Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We must hear it and believe it. We must then cling to it. It is hard to come to it. It is sadly too easy to leave it and to become lukewarm in regard to it. But this is the message of the church. This is the only foundation. The gospel of Christ. We must hold to it, and then we must make it known to others as Paul himself did. He said, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. He then shows also that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We have considered that also in the previous messages. But do you know that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven? Do you know that it is not only spoken of, but that it falls on many and is doing so today, on nations, on individuals? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Much of what takes place is God's wrath directly being meted out to sinful men. We can see that, especially in the Old Testament. We can see it as well in the New. In the early church, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, they dropped dead, as we can read in the book of Acts. It is revealed, it is warned, it is given, and we all stand in danger if we do not believe this truth from God's word. Then Paul goes further into the areas of that the invisible things of God from creation of the world are clearly seen. God's person, God's wisdom, God's goodness, God's love, God's knowledge, the eternalness of God is in one way invisible. But in the other way, it is clearly seen by what He has done. We can trace the cause back to the Creator. The cause that came from God is His creation. He created, as He stated by the pen of Moses in Genesis chapter 1, In the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. And then he shows us how he did this in the 6 days of his creation, and then rested on the Sabbath day. God gave us this world. God put us on it. He is our maker. Moses wrote in Psalm 90, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is the everlasting God. And all these things that he has created remain in their place by the word of his power. He is the one that sends the sunshine and the storm. When Job was tried by Satan, God answered him and used the elements of nature to teach Job, who already was one that feared God and one that was described as a perfect and upright man, one that was far closer in the ways of God than others were. But yet he had to be humble before God, and God used all of the things that he had created, or many of the things that he had created, to teach Job, and Job could finally say in the end, I abhor myself in dust and ashes. That's what we should do, even from creation, and how much more if we have the Word of God, the law of God, and the gospel of God, that we should be humble before God. We are not that. We are a proud people. We are rebellious people. We think that there should be more self-esteem, that there should be sorrow for sin, and to be ashamed for it. And Paul certainly addresses that here, when he states in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall, is what the writer of Proverbs tells us. Here, Paul gives us that same message. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If we know our weakness and we know our sinfulness before God, there is hope. James writes, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. When we know how foolish we are, we can go to God and receive wisdom. We can become wise. But if we profess ourselves to be wise without the knowledge of God, without thankfulness to God, all that is left is what we read here, they became fools. That's where we are today in much of our places of learning, in much of our institutions. We have become fools. We have denied our Creator. We have gone to great lengths to try to prove such theories as the theory of evolution, or as it sometimes another theory is propagated, the Big Bang Theory. And we speak of how many years old the world is, and we put it into the millions, and we put it into the billions, and there's all kinds of figures thrown around. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If you, perchance, are one of those who teach that, this is what God says of you if you do not believe the message of God's Word and the story of creation. I've seen children, even children of whose parents were preachers, would say, well, my teacher said that the world came by evolution. My teacher is right. That teacher is wrong and has no proof, no reason to be able to say that this world came in any other way than what God tells us in the Scriptures. And I believe this will cover it all. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. As the saying sometimes goes, we go from bad to worse. That's what takes place when we will not bow the knee to God, when we will not acknowledge Him as our Creator. And as we read here, so they are without excuse. Nature testifies of its Maker. We must and we can come to the conclusion that there has to be a Creator who is the originator of this world as we see it. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the water, the ground, the seasons, and all that is given by God on this earth. All the food that's provided, and then God put the creatures on this earth. Is that happenstance? Is that just chance? Is that just something that begins and we don't know why or where or how? And we try vainly and foolishly to come up with reasons? Yes, God is right when He tells us they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. When we begin with a lie, we need other lies to prop them up. We need to continue in that foolish way, and it only becomes worse. We end up in heathenism, in idolatry, as we read here, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. We can do this. We can rebel. But remember, God remains God. And no matter what we think, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, we are in God's hand. Listen to what He says and listen to what He does with us when we are in such foolish and under His wrath in such dangerous ways. Verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Especially take note of those words. Wherefore, God also gave them up. We have the same statement in verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Again, that statement, for this cause God gave them up. Once more in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What a terrible thing, what a terrible place when God gives us up. When God lets us go, He puts a restraint even on the wicked. He says to the wicked, so far and no further. But there are times and there are certain areas in which God does give us up. And we go further and further into sin. We become more and more entangled in the web of Satan's captivity and Satan's lies. It is a terrible place. It is awful to be given up by God. God alone is the source of good. God alone is the source of true and lasting blessing. Above all, God alone is the one who gives eternal life. Remember what we read, the last part of verse 17, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by believing truth. and believing in the God who is truth. Apart from that, there is only lies. God gives us over to believing the lies. And as I stated before, one lie leads to another. Listen to verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. If we would be honest, we would think of the blessings that accompany the gospel. We have the history of Israel for an example. When the Apostle Paul went to the church at Corinth, he showed how God had blessed Israel, how he took them out of Egypt, how he delivered them from slavery. He also said, but with many of them he was not well pleased, but overthrew them in the wilderness. And he spoke then of their murmuring. We can read of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And he warns us not to murmur as they murmured, not to lust as they lusted. Here we have a picture of that same thing. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Think of what's happening in the world today. What's happening in the ways of immorality. The ways of all of the diseases that are connected with it. And the terrible blight of AIDS as it is killing so many. As in Africa, sometimes it is said, literally, whole villages are dying. That root cause is what we read right here. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. We read, and we read, men with men doing that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. It brings death, not just by the wrath and the judgment of God, but sin and uncleanness itself leads to death, even in natural ways. Oh, what a warning we have here. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. God gives us the way of cleanliness and purity by his law. But we flaunt it, and we disobey it. But he's also given us a way that we can still be made clean through Christ, his Son, through the way of the gospel. As he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Join us next week.